The Senate votes today on tax cuts, or should I say the new stimulus package.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, the tax cut deal gets a vote in the Senate, and a well-known company that survived and thrived during the Great Depression may not make it through the Great Recession. But first, where's Wall Street? Markets are up right now. The Dow is up 17 points at 11,427. The NASDAQ up about 0.1%, and the S&P 500 up about 0.25%. The rating agency Moody's said this morning that the tax package that gets a vote today in the Senate could eventually lead to a downgrade of the AAA rating on U.S. debt. That would make it more difficult for the government to borrow money. Now let's turn to that tax cut deal. Julia Coronado is chief economist with the investment bank BNP Paribas, and she joins us now live as she does every Monday. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
So Moody's obviously doesn't think the deal's positive effects on growth will outweigh its negative effects on the deficit, but a lot of people are starting to call this tax cut deal a stimulus package. What's your take?
Well, I think it's not mainly a stimulus package. Keep in mind that the extension of the Bush tax cuts are just a postponement of a tax hike. It's not real stimulus. So it's not something that's going to boost growth terribly. My overall estimate is that we're only going to get about a quarter to maybe half a percentage point on growth from the package. That's coming from the payroll tax cut and the extension of unemployment benefits. Even a lot of that is going to get saved. Middle and high earners are still trying to restore their saving. And even low earners are going to face higher food and energy prices, which are going to sap some of the strength of the package.
All right, Julia, also this week, the president is meeting with corporate CEOs. He's trying to make nice with the business community. How much of an uphill battle does he have on that front?
It's a pretty steep hill. The relations have been very poor over the last couple of years. The president's made some concessions recently, and everybody can get together and have a nice lunch and sing kumbaya, but ultimately a lot of the regulatory issues and the tax issues that are looming ahead of us are going to keep those relationships very strained in the next year.
All right, Julia Coronado, chief economist at the investment bank BNP Paribas. Thanks so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
Now to a company that survived the Great Depression but might not survive the Great Recession. It's officially called the Great Atlantic and Pacific Tea Company, and it's been around for 151 years. But today, the grocery store chain, more commonly known as A&P, is fighting to stay alive. The New Jersey-based company, which runs 395 grocery stores around the Northeast, has filed for bankruptcy. Marketplace's Janet Babin is covering this story for us this morning, and she joins me now live in our New York studio to talk about it. Good morning, Janet.
Good morning, Jeremy.
So first of all, it's just amazing that we're talking about an A&P bankruptcy. This is a company that has survived through the ups and downs of about half of Americans' history.
Founded in 1859, that's pre-Civil War.
Wow.
A&P had its heyday back in the 30s, and back then it was the largest grocer in the country. It was the first national supermarket chain, and it even sponsored its own radio hour. It had singers like Kate Smith. I guess she was like the Katy Perry of her day. But then in the 70s, things started to sour in the 1970s. The company was sold to a German family, and now it's known under a bunch of different store names like Pathmark, Walbaum's, Food Emporium.
But that was even in the 70s. What's happening right now that's making it so difficult?
Well, the company blames its troubles on the downturn and on increased competition from the likes of Walmart and warehouse discounters. But there are those who think the economy had nothing to do with it. David Livingston is a supermarket research analyst. He's based in Milwaukee. And he told me this morning that A&P's been totally mismanaged.
The company just makes one mistake after another. One thing, they've got into a lot of real estate where they consistently pay above market rents. And everyone just scratches their heads like, why do they pay such high rents when no one else pays those kind of rents?
Now, Livingston says the company does have prime locations that other supermarkets are likely to buy up if they can.
All right. Marketplace's Janet Babin here in New York. Thanks.
Thank you.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt, it's more car than electric. And by Ally Bank, offering its Raise Your Rate CD, as well as online savings account and money market account. Learn more at AllyBank.com. Sustainability coverage is supported in part by the Candida Fund, furthering values that contribute to a healthy planet.
The social networking site Twitter is looking for a location for its European headquarters, and the British government is rolling out the red carpet to attract the company to London. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
The British government has bent over backwards trying to lure Twitter to London. The Prime Minister David Cameron entertained Twitter executives in his official residence last week. He's hoping the site will boost a pet project of his, a so-called tech city in the British capital, a mini rival to Silicon Valley. Twitter won't confirm that it is coming to London, but Rupert Neat, technology correspondent with the Daily Telegraph, has been reading between the tweets of Twitter's head of development.
She tweeted last week about how excited she was to meet the Prime Minister, and she even asked her husband, can we move to London, please? I love it here.
London is one of the top 10 cities for Twitter users, but Prime Minister Cameron isn't one of them. Last year he admitted that he doesn't tweet. The trouble with Twitter, he said, is too many twits. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
And while we're on the subject of Twitter, we now have the list of the top trends for the year. Number one, Gulf oil spill. Apple iPad and Google Android made the top 10. Apple iPhone did not. Apparently, the iPhone is so last year. And finally, to the highest heights of stupidity, a store in Canada was broken into and robbed last week, and the owner is very confused. He's confused because his store is called the Free Store, and everything in it is free. Customers pay $2 to drop off stuff they don't want, and they can take anything they want for free. Well, luckily, the thieves were caught before they could, I don't know, steal all the ketchup packets from McDonald's or something. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
In China, what the government wants, the government takes.
Where can I live now? Nowhere. When they pull down my house, I'll camp outside the local officials' homes and live there.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Urban sprawl takes on a whole new meaning when the government takes your house. That story and the numbers next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.